Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Rebbe T, the Audio Devar Torah, the show where we talk a bit on the Parsha of the week in a mini lecture with some practical lessons to keep. We're looking at we are in Sefer Devar, and we're looking at Perek Yudalet Pasuk Dalet. The idea here being, we're talking about you are what you eat. Let's look at the Pasuk, what it says in the Pasuk, Zos HaBehema Asher Tochelu. These are the animals that you may eat. Why does the Torah, Hashem explained through the words that he gave to Moshe to write down, why does he say these are the animals you may eat? Why these and not others? We know about animals, land animals and the like. We know they have to have split hooves and chew their cud, regurgitate the food, bring it up, and swallow it, bring it up and swallow it. I think a cow has four stomachs or something crazy like that. And the fish animals have to have the fins and scales. And the different simanim, the different ideas of the different aspects of different animals and insects and fish, all different things we know about that we're allowed to eat. And it's been handed down from generation to generation, different types of insects we're allowed to, and the like. Why some animals yes, and some animals no? So let's take a little bit of a journey looking at Rashi and a few other sources. Of course, comes from Chabad.org, the wonderful website. So first up, Rashi explains, this is the animal which you may eat, the gazelle and the deer. And the antelope, for example, the verse begins with, this is the animal, behema. Then it goes on to enumerate types of wild beasts, which are chaya. The word used, chaya, they're wild. We learn that the category of wild beasts, chaya, is included in the category of behema, which usually refers only to domestic animals, pointed out by Sifri and Chulin. We learn also that unclean domestic and wild animals are more numerous than clean ones, since the less numerous are always enumerated. Therefore, the clean animals are enumerated here. So the unclean ones are many more numerous than the clean ones. The first point being, to me, it reminds us of the fact that the Jewish people in the world, maybe it's reminiscent of the fact that the Jewish people in the world are so small. If we take the idea of how many people we are, how big we are, how great we are, how large we are compared to the whole world, it's minuscule. We're like 1% of the whole world population. I think it's even less than that. But we ourselves are so little compared to everyone around us. And we're supposed to bring the Kedusha. We're supposed to be the Tahar ones, bring the Taharness to the world. Just as the Pasuk is talking about the animals that are so much less than unclean ones. The clean ones are so much less in quantity and quality. The quality is great, but quantity-wise, there's so many less kosher, clean animals than there are unclean ones. Maybe it's reminiscent of the fact that we are such a small nation, such small numbers compared to everyone, but still, numbers don't matter, but the quality does, and we have to change the world for the better, even though there's much, much less of us. And you look at how many people got the Nobel Prize and made such differences and made such impacts on the world. So many of them were Jewish people. Maybe that's one thing we could learn from this week's Parsha. Ramban goes on, the Nachmanides goes on to explain that the birds and many of the mammals forbidden by the Torah are predators, while the permitted animals are not. We are commanded not to eat those animals possessive of a cruel nature, so that we should not absorb these qualities into ourselves. How fascinating. What we eat really becomes what we are. You really are what you eat. Hashem gives us the animals he wants us to eat because he wants us not to become predatory. In some way, in some aspect, it becomes ingrained into our personality, it becomes ingrained into our neshamas, into our bodies, and Hashem wants us to find those that are not predators, but those that are prey, those that are not the ones that are going out and lunging and trying to murder other animals, basically trying to kill them for their own gains. On some aspect, on some level, that would not be good for us. We're supposed to hone our midos, fine-tune our qualities in this world, in our life here on this world, and eating things that are the ones that Hashem guides us may be indicative of what we should do. We don't want to absorb the cruel nature. We don't want to be achzariot. We don't want to be cruel and have cruelty to our nature. So maybe that's why Hashem guides us as well. And of course, these sources are from Chabad, and the Hasidic masters point out, the great Kabbalist Rabbi Isaac Luria taught that every created thing possesses a spark of divine energy that constitutes its essence and its soul. When a person utilizes something toward a godly end, he brings to light this divine spark manifesting, realizing the purpose for which it was created. What a wonderful way of doing things, trying to take something and use it for the right purpose, for the main purpose of why it was really created. You know, Pirkei Avos talks about, the sages talk about how Ein lo Adam she'ein lo sha'ah ve'ein lo davar she'ein lo makom she'ein lo sha'ah. Every aspect, everything, every animal, every item in this world has its reason, has its purpose, and has its ability to be used. Hashem gives you different things in the divine providence for its uses. Every bug, every animal, every item on this world has a good use for it. It should be used for tahar things. It should be used for good things, for kadosh things. You think about how even the spider, which we don't know the reasons for animals, but when David, we talk about this example a lot on all the different shows, when David was running away from Shaul, his own father-in-law, very complicated relationship, but Shaul, of course, wanted to kill him, and David was fleeing from him. One time he had the opportunity to kill him, and he didn't do so. Another time when Shaul was looking for him, he came to the cave, and Hashem miraculously made the spider spin a web so that it would look like David could not possibly be in that cave, because how long does it take for the spider to spin the web? A long time, usually, but Hashem made a miraculous thing. He did it very quickly. So the spider basically saved David's life, because everything, every insect, every item in this world has a purpose, and has a use, and has a unique ability and contribution that we could use, hopefully towards the godly end, hopefully towards the ability to do something good for it. In all physical substances, they go on and explain, a material husk, a klipa, encases and conceals the divine spark at its core, necessitating great effort on the part of man to access the spark without becoming enmeshed in the surface materiality. No existence is devoid of a divine spark. Indeed, nothing can exist without the pinpoint of godliness that imbues it with being and with purpose. But not every spark can be actualized. There are certain impregnable elements whose sparks are inaccessible to us. The fact that something is forbidden by the Torah means that its husk cannot be penetrated, so that its spark remains locked within it and cannot be elevated. So the example being, one who eats a piece of kosher meat and then uses the energy gained from it to perform a mitzvah, thereby elevates the spark of divinity that is the essence of the meat, freeing it of its mundane incarnation, raising it to a state of fulfilled spirituality. However, if one would do the same with a piece of non-kosher meat, lo aleinu, no, we should not do such things. No such elevation, quote-unquote, would take place. Even if he applied the energy to positive and godly ends, this would not constitute a realization of the divine purpose in the meat's creation, since the consumption of the meat was an express violation of the divine will. This is the deeper significance of the Hebrew terms asur and mutter employed by Torah law for the forbidden and for the permissible. Think about the word asur. Asur, commonly translated as forbidden, really means bound, implying that these are things whose sparks the Torah has deemed bound and imprisoned in a shell of negativity and prescription. But mutter, the idea of the word mutter, permitted, which literally means unbound, is the term for those sparks which the Torah has empowered us to extricate from their mundane embodiment and actively involve in our positive endeavors. The bound elements of creation also have a role in the realization of the divine purpose outlined by the Torah, but theirs is a negative role. They exist so that we should achieve a conquest of self by resisting them. There is no Torah-authorized way in which they can actively be involved in our development of creation, no way in which they may themselves become part of the dwelling for Hashem that we are charged to make of our world. Of these elements, it is said their breaking is their rectification. They exist to be rejected and defeated, and it is in their defeat and exclusion from our lives that is their raison d'etre, is realized, that the reason, their purpose is realized. So basically, what we can eat has an effect on us. That's the idea of you are what you eat. It goes beyond just the idea of predatory and prey. prey. But if you eat candy all day, you become a ball of sugar. First of all, it's not good for your health. It's not good for your teeth. It's not good for the body, but it's also not good. It's empty carbs. It's not actually helping you. But if you eat the meat, then you become someone who can ingrain the iron into you, can ingrain the protein into you. If you eat bread all day, also not good. That's also carbs. We have to have that well-balanced diet in order to have a well-balanced soul and a well-balanced body. Make sure, just like ChooseMyPlate.org, the new government initiative in the past few years, Lahavda, you're supposed to have your dairy, you're supposed to have your protein, you're supposed to have your vegetables and your fruit, and you're supposed to have the grains and the barley and the all those different things. There's a couple of different food groups you could check out, choosemyplate.gov, but there are different ways of doing it to have the right portion sizes, because if you have too much of a good thing, it's not good. Too much of one type of food is not good. It's going to ruin the body in one way. Too much of a different type of food is not good. Also, it's going to ruin the body in a different way. We have to balance what we eat, because we come what we eat. You can't have nosh all day, you can't have meat all day, and you can't have milk all day. You have to really balance things out. We have the idea that it's set up for us that we're supposed to have those three meals a day. Some people say it should really be five smaller meals a day. But the idea that Hashem gives us, the most of us have the ability to have waiting the 6 hours between meat and milk. You ever wonder why? One of the opinions explained was that it's the idea of the time of digestion. You need the meat to get through your system before you jump to the dairy. Of course, there are yucky opinions, other opinions that hold that you have the 1 hour, the 3 hours. It depends on your minhag. But for those of you like me, we'll have the 6 full hours. Some people wait 5 hours and a minute. But you have the 6 full hours. It's the idea of digesting. And scientifically, it's proven also it needs time to break down in the system. Your body has to get through that meat, has to get through that chicken, has to get through those proteins and break it down in the right way before you start gorging yourself on pizza or the like. I think about the story of someone who went and pounded all different stores in Israel. I believe it was my brother, maybe. He hit up like ice cream and then KFC afterwards at the end, and it was not good. Of course, he did the dairy, and then the meat at the end, of course, but it was not good because the body cannot handle it. It can break it down. It can really, really mess with the body. You have to do it in the right way. Don't over-satiate yourself. Don't over-gorge yourself. I think the Rambam explains, V'achalta v'savata uverachti, you should eat. You should be satiated, and then you should bless Hashem, thank Hashem for the food He gives you. It doesn't say you should gorge yourself. It doesn't say that you should down everything down like a vildachai. It says you should eat to satiation. The Rambam, I believe, explains you should eat till you're 3/4 full, not eat till your stomach is bursting, because you'll get nauseous, you'll get grossed out, you'll get disgusted with yourself, and your whole body will be affected. It won't feel good. That's why the idea of foodism is very interesting, but if it's used in the wrong way, it gets wrong, because you have to remember you're not living to eat. You're eating to live. No one says you can't enjoy the meal, can't enjoy food and talk about food and think about food, but if it becomes an end in and of itself, that's the problem. Remember, there's a big difference between living to eat and eating to live. We're here in this world for 120 years. We should use our time wisely. We should use things wisely. Of course, we're supposed to engage in the permitted, and we're supposed to love the world and benefit from the world and have hana from the world in different areas, especially in the permitted, but we're not supposed to go to the excess. Just because it's good to eat doesn't mean you should be eating the whole day. Just because it's good to play sports doesn't mean you should be playing the sports the whole day also. And Torah, which is amazing, 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 you still have to fulfill all your other duties the whole day. Good is good, but it has to be balanced out. We have to make sure it's done in the right way. That's why it's important to understand you are what you eat. You got to eat right in the right ways, and you should fill your days in the right way also. The way that you structure your day, the way you structure your time, you are also, besides for what you eat, you are what you do. If you make your day full of crazy things, narishkeit hevel, then your day becomes full of hevel. If you stay on the phone all day, just talking to people and texting people and Facebooking and Instagramming and Pinteresting, but nothing is left to your day is basically meaningless. Your day has no structure and there's nothing accomplished. But if you spend your day taking care of the kids, taking care of your spouse, doing something to change the world, make the world better, and involving yourself in the chores and the aspects of running a house and running a family, that really can make your day. If someone sits and literally couch potatoes all day, what did you do with your day? What do you have to show for what your day was about? That was really a waste of time. That's why the term killing time is really a terrible term, because Hashem gives us time. Time is the most precious resource. You can never make up for time. You can never get more time. You can never get time back. I believe there are different rulers that said that's one resource they could never capitalize on. That's nothing you could get. You could acquire money, you could acquire houses and cars, and in the olden days the kings could acquire many wives and whatnot, and you could acquire horses and the like. And we're not equating wives, God forbid, with horses or anything. It's just a term explaining that you could have a lot of relationships, you could have a lot of things in life. We're not making a comparison at all with any of those things, but if you use your time in a way like that, that's not what we're talking about. But you can never get more time. I believe a statement was, it's always better to be early than to be late. I believe my mom once said that. You could always make up time, you could always be early, but when you're late, you can never make up that time. Time is a wonderful thing, but you can never get it back. So use your time wisely and use what you eat wisely. No one says you can't relax, you can't calm down at the end of a stressful day. It's always okay to relax and recharge yourself. But if the whole day is wasted on social media, the whole day is wasted on lounging around being a couch potato watching TV, that is a real waste. You are what you do. You are what you eat. Make sure to eat properly and make sure to do things properly. And that leads us to our second major point of the Audio DT this week. When you look at what Hashem gives us in this world, there are divine sparks in everything that Hashem gives us. We can take, and we've talked about this many times in many of the shows, but it always bears repeating, especially when we approach it from a different pasuk or a slightly different way. Hashem gives us these wonderful things in our life. Hashem gives us these wonderful inventions in our life. What do we do with these inventions? You have a smartphone, you have a computer, you have a laptop, you have a radio, you have a TV, you have a camera, a video camera. What do you do with those things? Do you waste it on photographing cats going around and sharing cat videos? Do you waste it on looking at cute puppies all day? It's nice to see it every night once in a while, but what are you using with that? Use that to photograph wonderful, holy, beautiful places throughout the world, the Western Wall and places in Israel and the beauty of God's creation. And if you have the smartphone, use it to record shiurim, use it to listen to shiurim, use it to watch shiurim, use it to go to Jewish websites like Chabad and like OU and YU and Aish, one of my favorites, all great websites. But we have the technology, we should use it. We take something mundane, we elevate to the spiritual. That's one of the major aspects of what we're supposed to be doing in this life. We talked about many weeks ago the Nefesh HaBahami and the Nefesh HaSichli. Hashem gives us a soul encased in a body to prove that we're supposed to take the elements, the animalistic, and raise it to the spiritual. We're supposed to take the mundane, raise it to the spiritual, put Kedusha in different things. That's why every aspect of life is governed by Jewish law. Every aspect, even the most intimate of relationships between a man and wife, Hashem makes it in a beautiful way that it becomes kadosh, because something that could be so mundane, that could be so base, Hashem makes it to be elevated in the most beautiful way, the way He sets up all the laws and sets up all the systems. You talk about food, and Hashem takes the wine and He elevates it through the mitzvahs that He gives us by doing kiddush. You take bread, which could be very simple, and it comes from the ground of the earth. Hamotzi lachem min haaretz. Hashem takes the bread literally out of the ground, but we elevate it by saying the brachos, by bringing it into a mitzvah. Even a garment like tzitzis inherently doesn't seem so holy. It's just a garment that we put fringes on, but when we do it in the right way and we make it, it's elevated into a beautiful mitzvah. Tefillin and talis, it's a cloth, it's some leather, but when we do it in the way that Hashem asks us and makes us for the mitzvahs, we elevate it into it. Because what we take, what we eat, and we say brachos on it, and we sit at the table, and we say divrei Torah, and we sing the Shabbos songs on Shabbos and Yom Tov, for Yom Tov songs, the Chagim and the like, you take simple, mundane things on every day that you would see, but we elevate it, we bring the spiritual into it. We take the sparks of holiness, of divineness that we see around, we shed the klipas and we find the inner, we shed the outside, hopefully using that term right, and we look for what's on the inside, and we're able to try to find ways to do so. You know, Pirkei Avos says, if you sit at the table and you're eating food, but you don't share Divrei Torah, it's as if you're eating from Zivchei, I forget the exact terminology, but it's not good. Zivchei Mesim or some bad things. Like, it's as if you're sitting at the wrong type of table, you know, giving offerings to the dead, God forbid, or offerings, chas v'shalom, to something that's not Hashem. You want to sit and you do it right. You sit with the table. You don't just sit and you do lashon hara, God forbid. That's using it in the wrong way. You sit and you talk Torah. You sing songs of Shabbos and you share the parsha. You talk with the kids. You talk with the members at the table. Use it in the right way, because you're sitting at a table anyway. You're eating food anyway, but you could take that and elevate it. That's the two main points we want to take out in the mini lecture here on the Audio DT and this week, where we are what we eat and we are what we do, what we use our time for, what we eat. It really becomes a part of us, and it becomes an aspect of us, and it really attaches to us. And we should understand that what we eat, what we do, and everything we're involved in, we should really elevate it. And we take the mundane, the material, and we elevate to the spiritual. One of the wonderful things we do in Judaism, I always think about the Hanukkah as really my favorite holiday, my favorite chag of the entire year. I've talked about it before. You take something simple and use it for holiness. Fire could be so destructive. A candle could be so destructive. If you put it on wood, you put it in the wrong place, it could burn things down, God forbid. But when you light the fire on Shabbos, we've talked about this before, you light the fire and candle, there's like a zen, an aura that I metaphorically and think about in my mind, how I could almost picture how the peacefulness spreads throughout the world. It's almost as if you see a wind passing through the whole house. You know, Lahavda, you see movies and TV shows, how like an aura spreads. You could almost feel it permeating the house, because that candle of Shabbos, that candle of Hanukkah, it spreads light, and it brings light, and it brings peacefulness to the home. And you think about the Hanukkah candles on Hanukkah, that time of the year is a very depressing time of year. It's a very dark time of the year. It's winter, it's dark, the days become nights so quickly, so early. But you bring that light, one candle can banish the darkness. A very famous phrase goes, one candle can banish all the dark and bring the light. And one candle is one of the only substances we've talked about before also that can actually light others without diminishing from itself. The flame doesn't die because it lights another flame. The wax might be melting, but the flame itself, the candle itself of that flame, doesn't diminish. You could light hundreds of candles if you had enough wax and time, and it would never diminish. That's the idea of Torah also. We spread it. We do more mitzvahs, more chesed. You can never diminish yourself by doing more mitzvahs, by doing more Torah, by doing more chesed. That's another thing that could spread to us. So remember, you are what you eat. You are what you do. Use your time wisely. Eat the right things. Make sure you're not bringing cruel natures into yourself. Make sure you're eating the right things. You're balancing your time and your meals in the right way. Don't oversatiate yourself. Eat to the right aspect. And make sure to take things that Hashem gives us and elevate it to the spiritual. And make sure to elevate it as much as you can day by day. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Audio DT with Reb T. See you next time. And I'm your host, Reb T.